Hey, good morning, everybody. I think we are all here for the most part. Before we get started, I do want to note that this meeting is being recorded, and I appreciate everybody's flexibility, especially with the weather and the closing of the some of the build all the buildings actually around Salem. So the time is now 10:01. On Wednesday, January 17th, 2024, and the Private Activity Bond Committee is called to order. So, for the record, my name is Jaime Alvarez. I'm the Director of Debt Management, the Debt Management Division here at Oregon State Treasury, and the Treasurer's Designee and Chair of the PAB Committee. So, real quick, I would like to do the roll call. So, for our roll call, I would like to ask each member of the Private Activity Bond Committee to identify yourself for the record. Rhonda.
For the record, Rhonda Nelson, Apartment Administrative Services, Capital Finance Manager.
Thank you. Teresa.
Teresa Diebel, public member.
Thank you. So thank you. Thank you, everybody, for attending. You should have received a copy of the agenda and meeting material that was circulated and posted to our website. So the topics being covered today here include, the private activity bond status, the 2023 carry forward request from OACS. And I would like to remind all attendees to mute their mics unless they're speaking. Committee members, please feel free to come off mute at your discretion. So any public members or any others that are attending the committee or that are not committee members, I would ask to hold your questions till after each after the presentation is complete. So real quick, I do want to do a quick 23 recap. In 2023, the PAB committee was allocated approximately $218 million of volume cap authority. We awarded approximately $91 million in allocations for projects from the Housing Authority of Washington County and Home Forward. At the conclusion of 2023, the committee ended the year with approximately $287 million in volume cap. That is now the 2023 carry forward. So with that, we'll go to item number three. On the agenda, I'll turn it over to my colleague Sarah, also from Debt Management, Oregon State Treasury, and to discuss the bond status.
Good morning. So I'm gonna start with the historical carry forward summary. The 2020 carry forward would have expired December 2023. However, all of the 2020 carry forward was used prior to expiration. The 2021 carry forward was allocated amongst four different agencies, and they used the entirety of the 2021 carry forward as well. The 2022 carry forward was $157,849,180.06. And all of that was allocated to Oregon Housing and Community Services. And they used all of that except for 6 cents, which will expire in 2025. And next is the 2023 carry forward. So in 2023, the state started with $509,538,600 total private activity bond volume cap, some of which was legislatively allocated to state agencies, and the rest went to the committee. Of that $509 million, $222,383,126 were used, and that leaves us with the $287,155,474 2023 carry forward, which Oregon Housing and Community Services has requested in full for today's meeting. And then for 2024's volume cap, there is 529,169,750. 450 million of that was legislatively allocated to Oregon Housing and Community Services, and 1 million was allocated to Oregon Business Development Department. House Bill 5005 allocated 58,538,600 initially, but due to an increase in the IRS dollar cap per capita to 125, that gave the committee an additional 19,631,150, so for a total of 78,169,750 for the 2024 allocation. And there are no current requests for that 78 million, so that full amount will still be available in the subsequent meetings this year.
Great. Thank you, Sarah. Are there any questions from the committee members on the PAB status? Nope. Thank you. So we go on to item number 4. We'll have a presentation from Oregon Housing and Community Services Department. I can turn it over to them to go over their presentation. One thing I will ask, since Sarah's sharing the presentation now, are you okay with Sarah sharing or Matthew, Natasha, would you like to kind of control your own slides?
Hi, this is Natasha, and I'm happy to do the slides from here, or, you know, I think I defer.
Okay.
So it's up to you. And I think to kick us off, we have our executive director, Andrea Bell, here to do a little context setting for us.
Thanks, Andrea. Yeah, certainly. Great. Well, thank you, Natasha. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Chair Alvarez, and members of the Private Activity Bond Committee. It feels a little late in January to still be saying Happy New Year, but I think for the sake of decorum here, I will say Happy New Year. It's really good to see all of you. So ahead of the team's presentation, I wanted to come and spend just a couple of minutes, and I will commit to making it a couple of minutes, to offer some what I believe of really important context, both in terms of where we are at as an agency, what you can expect from us going forward, because I imagine that we will be in front of you regularly, continuing the level of engagement that we have in pursuit of real progress that we are in pursuit of as an agency. So let me just start by just saying that I know that this committee, it comes as no surprise that we are continuing to exist in a world where there is tension between the supply and demand of affordable housing. That is one of the most critical issues in front of this agency. It is one of the most critical issues that our state faces, which is reflective of our nation. It is one of the most critical issues that our nation is facing. And I think what's important to know about that is that when we talk about housing, we certainly have shortage of it and need more of it in all shapes and sizes across the state, from our small towns and rural communities to our more densely populated communities. Even though those geographies are different, even though the experience is different for so many people across those communities, when we are in community with folks, it is the correlating issue that we hear from every single person. It is a matter to which we get the most letters of concerns about from teachers and frontline workers, families that have to move multiple times throughout the year, only in pursuit of attaining affordable housing. And I want to say that when we talk about affordable, that definition is broadening because affordability is more and more out of reach for a lot of folks across the state of Oregon. What I want to forecast for each of you in this is that really three things. So We are continuing to pursue, particularly under Governor Kotick's leadership, we're continuing to pursue historic levels of funding. That comes as an automatic. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. We will continue to be relentless in pursuit of more resources to have more clear and real progress that people can see and feel. One of the other things that I want to put in front of this committee is awareness, is also that we have to do more with what we have. We know that we are in a private activity bond constrained environment. Unless there is congressional change, that is the reality that we are existing in. So in addition to more resources, we also have to do more with what we have. You can expect, and certainly we want to be in conversation with all of you about the strategies that we see from our seat, which is not the most important seat, but it is a seat that we have and we hold, that we have to do more with what we have. And then the third piece that I want to put in front of this committee, that it's maybe not directly germane to each of your respective day-to-day work or the work of the committee, but we want to give you just a peek behind the curtain, is under the compression and the reality of that tension between supply and demand that I mentioned, we as an agency are going to have to make some critical shifts into how we do business. And so I offer that just as a backdrop, because when we come to you, you may hear inflections of work that we're doing and how we're seeking to change it. You're also going to hear inflections of work that we are doing that is reflective of the realities of how that supply and demand is creating very real compression. And so the last thing that I want to just offer to you, and then I'll yield back and turn it to Natasha, is the agency, in addition to focusing on volume of housing, the amount of housing that we build, part of what we see as our responsibility to the people of Oregon is making sure that we are doing so with the social context. When we talk about housing, we're also talking about the health of our economies, the health of our communities, and the health of the people of Oregon as well. I know that this is no surprise to any of you. You all do that work in your own space day to day, but I want to make sure that you all have the backdrop of where we are going as an agency and what you're going to continue to hear from us, maybe in a much more urgent and incessant way than perhaps the last couple of years. And so I appreciate certainly Chair Alvarez and the committee for the really challenging and hard, difficult decisions that you all have to make. And I know I only know a fraction of what that's like, but I am not in your seat. And so I can appreciate the hard decisions that you all will have to make, and just know that we are continuing to be a resource and a partner, and look forward to both today's presentation, but also all of the forthcoming conversations that we will have in pursuit of real progress here in the state that we all love and call home. So appreciate you all making a few minutes, and I will yield back and turn it to Natasha to get us started.
Great. Thank you, Andrea. My name is Natasha Detweiler-Davey. I'm the Director of Affordable Rental Housing here at OHCS. I'm also joined by Matthew Harris from our debt management group, and really the expert behind the scenes here. For technical questions, certainly we'll ask Matthew to help support the conversation. So I think we can go into the next slide. I think Director Bell set the context for the work that we are embarking on. Reflected in our private activity bond request is a request for a carry forward. We have $290 million in projects and confirmed projects that are continuing to meet readiness to proceed benchmarks. And for context of that, over the last year, and I was providing regular updates to the committee, we navigated our 4% in private activity bond program into this constrained competitive environment, and have established readiness benchmarks that need to be met in order for projects to retain their resources. Acknowledge here, and I'll reflect a little bit more on that in a minute, but the changing market environment and challenging market environment has continued to put pressure on projects, which is evidenced through the shifting of some of these timelines, which was part of those resources becoming carry forward. But we do continue to see oversubscription in our private activity bond pipeline. And we have a significant pipeline established of projects that are working forward and through. And so I think maybe I'll just go to the next slide, which shows that pipeline a little bit. So we have over 3,300 units in our affordable rental housing pipeline for planned use of private activity bonds. And this was oversubscribed. So there were more projects that we could add to that if there were private activity bonds available. And we also know that this is stretching and reaching. Director Bell referenced earlier congressional action. There is continued work at the federal level in order to put together a tax package. I think the most recent draft that we saw come out I think over the weekend was to reduce what is now a 50% test for of private activity bonds in order to generate a tax credit to a 30%. And so that has not taken effect. That has not been put into place. But we are, you know, will retain my optimism and continue to push forward in that. And that would be a real dramatic game changer for us in terms of being able to really put resources to projects that are otherwise ready to move forward and take these next steps forward. And then you can do the next slide. In total, we have 30 projects reflected in this bar chart. Again, over 3,300 units. We are working globally around our own funding processes and changes. And so again, over the last couple of years, have navigated private activity bonds and 4% into this more competitive, constrained environment. Work to create a collaborative structure with housing authorities. We do have the statutory change to allow us to sub-allocate to housing authorities where they will be the bond issuers. So we're working to put that into place. And we are also working on a really significant shift to our funding process. Over the last year, I guess kicking off in July, August of last year, we began engaging around our application process, which has been on a policy-driven NOFA basis. So meaning we issue different policy-aligned fund offerings with specific resources included in, structure those as competitive, and then on specific timelines. And so we are working to, as we have engaged around that and wanting to really make sure that our process was speaking and reflecting to the priorities of the executive order on production and the expansive need across the state to make sure that we are prioritizing our effort and energy, not on the competition, but on making sure that projects can be successful in moving forward, held accountability, and are working now, have identified really a deconstructed application process so that we are doing we'll be working toward launching a centralized application where all resources can be, where all resources will be offered and accessed, and evaluating projects at key points. So doing an initial intake process and then evaluating first the policy objectives and policy alignment, and then evaluating financial, and then finally doing final funding commitment a little bit later in the process. The hope is, and the calculus is, that if we are doing those final funding commitments much closer to when they are ready to proceed, when they have done the vast majority of their due diligence to make sure that they are understanding closer to the same market conditions as they will be building in, as well as all of the cost estimates updated and thorough at the time when we're doing that final funding commitment, we should see much less in terms of these last gaps as projects are currently experiencing when we do that, our NOFA and application process, deciding on our resource investment a year, often 2 years before they're really ready to start construction. And so this is a significant shift for our internal work. We are standing up both a centralized application team to make sure that we have consistent and predictable experience for all applicants. We are standing up a technical advisor team to be able to really engage very early in conversations and giving informed information to development teams so that they are understanding our resources, our processes, and making sure that we're navigating around any things that will come up later in the process, and overall, seeing that we will be able to hold to accountability on delivering housing into community and putting a little less emphasis on accountability to filling out the application right the first time around. And so I think that this will be a change in the structure of our work. We are currently working through, we've done, 6 months of engagement, getting input on a lot of different subject areas underneath this umbrella of a centralized application. We are translating that into recommendations for process and work. It will be working to get input and feedback from our stakeholders and users of our resources so that we are hopeful to launch in the spring, hoping for April we'll be able to turn that on. At its initial deployment, because we currently do have this full 2024 pipeline of private activity bonds projects, we are not initially opening with the idea of adding tax credits into low-income housing tax credits into those fund offerings. So we'll be working to update our qualified allocation plan this year to align with this new application process so that we are both implementing structures and continue to engage around that. And so as we have not yet done the QAP work, and again, feel we have an overflowing full 2024 private activity pipeline, we see the next potential offering of low-income housing tax credit resources towards the end of this year. And so we'll continue to be building that. I think in the next private activity bond committee meeting, we'll have another update on that with where we have navigated as we'll be launching our application process around then, and pinned down some critical decisions around our future process. And that's really kind of qualitative layer of framing around our internal work on managing our private activity bond pipeline. Happy for any questions on that or any other questions you might have on our need for private activity bonds. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Natasha. Thank you very much for the thorough presentation. And obviously, we definitely look forward to future updates. We appreciate, all the good work that OHCS is doing and, your continued efforts. I don't have any questions. I'll open that up to the committee. Does anybody have any questions? Teresa, Rhonda?
I don't have any questions at this time.
I would like to ask a question. There was reference on, it was page 19 of the packet, but it was a reference to the LIFT program and improving deployment of investments in rural communities. I wonder if you could give a little bit more context on what that looks like or strategies that will be pursued there.
Yeah, I think the I think largely, in my mind, I'm reflecting on that as around our funding process updates and the idea of being able to provide upfront technical assistance to navigate through challenges. We did get a legislative investment in a construction loan guarantee. And I think focusing on investments of which is would be eligible for nonprofit cities, housing authorities to be able to use. See that as a way that would be advantageous to projects navigating the challenges in rural communities. We have also submitted an application to HUD for they had put out a HUD Pro investment strategy, and so don't know if we will get it or not, but have identified the significant impact that the infrastructure needs in rural communities are having on our projects as they're putting together their financing packages and navigating local jurisdiction needs for expanded infrastructure, which are true needs in community and when placed solely on housing has been a challenge to navigate. And so we're pursuing those resources in the hopes of being able to pilot some strategies around pairing our infrastructure investment for these very rural communities with our development in the hopes that that will be able to expedite delivery of housing. We have also just released our, we had some Home America Rescue Plan resources, which we offered to our very rural communities, which I recognize this isn't Lyft, but it is a place where we have also invested capacity resources to be able to provide communities in those very rural areas resources to do the planning work to put project proposals together with the idea that we can hold some resources for when those projects are ready to move forward. But it feels like really investing in the infrastructure, both community, being able to take action in community, as well as the literal infrastructure of project-related infrastructure needs.
That's really helpful. Thank you. No additional questions.
Great, thanks.
So now we'll entertain any questions or comments from the public. Or go ahead, Matthew.
I just had one comment before you guys get to a vote. We had submitted an application, I think, for a flat amount of $288 million of carry forward. And I think it's been since amended, knowing what the final amount available was. And I just wanted to be clear, especially seeing that there are no other applications on your agenda, that our request will be for the full amount of carry forward available at this date, and that we are very strongly committed to make sure that carry forward is spent first on any and all of our projects to ensure that no dollar gets wasted or, you know, left unspent. We may have, I believe, two projects closing in the next 2 weeks that we'll be working with bond council to determine if we'll use carry forward or if we need to shift in our legislative allocation, just because, you know, I know we have to file the 8328 and get that all situated to follow all the PAB and IRS rules. But I just wanted to give the committee some assurance that we're managing this in the best interest of the state as a whole to ensure that all carry forward gets utilized first before we tap into our legislative allocation, and that because we can use by and away every dollar. So I just wanted to just highlight that. Thanks.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any questions or comments from the public?
I see no hands.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for addressing that, Matthew. I was going to kind of mention about the amending amount. So now that, is there a motion to award the 2023 carry forward volume cap to Oregon Housing and Community Services Department in the amount of $287,155,474.
I move that we allocate the remaining 2023 PAB carry forward amount of $287,155,474 to Oregon Housing and Community Services.
Is there a second?
I second the motion.
Great, thank you. We will now put it to a vote. The motion to approve this request has been moved and seconded. The committee members, how do you vote? Rhonda?
Aye.
Teresa?
Aye.
And myself, Jaime Alvarez, aye. So with that, the request for the 2023 carry forward volume cap in the amount of $287,155,474 has been unanimously approved and passed by the PAB committee. Thank you. Thank you very much, and obviously great. Good luck with your projects. Okay, so before we adjourn, are there any additional comments or questions from the PAB committee members?
None from me.
Okay. Hearing none. The time is now 10:31. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I move that we adjourn the January 17th, 2024 Private Activity Bond Committee meeting.
Is there a second?
There's a second to adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
Great. Are there any objections to adjourning the meeting? Hearing none, the January 17th, 2024 Private Activity Bond Committee meeting is now adjourned. Thank you all. Thank you very much.
Thank you.